Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here on this very nice fall day. Hope everyone enjoyed the spectacular Bronco orange sunrise this morning. Just a reminder about Teishos. Teisho is not a talk or an informational sermon in the usual sense. It's an attempt by the speaker to express the Dharma, the ultimate truth, as directly as possible in words. So don't try to understand or analyze it or judge it in the usual way. Just listen with an open mind and an open heart. Let the Teisho flow through you like a river. Did you notice it this morning? During the sitting, did you hear it? You can't right now because of the fan and the amplifier. But what about earlier? Tick, 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 tick. The clock on the back wall of the Zendo, counting off the seconds, the minutes, the hours. Great is the matter of birth and death. Life slips quickly by. Time waits for no one. Wake up. Wake up. Don't waste a moment. For those of us of a certain age, the end of life is no longer over the horizon. The great matter of birth and death becomes more and more urgent and more personal. I think as we get older, we tend to think more and more about the past and less about the future. It is the young who focus on the future. This is natural. The elderly feel that they don't have that much of a future, so it makes sense to look more and more at the past, of which they have quite a lot. It is the young who have their whole lives ahead of them, as the saying goes. They look forward. Looking forward, looking backward, both miss the point. I suspect that most of us look at the time in our life, in this life, rather like a horizontal line stretching from birth at one end, passing through the present, and ending in death at the other end. And we move inexorably along it. We all know that we're going to grow old and die. Aging and death are the most intimate expressions of impermanence. In our practice on the mat and in our lives, it's relatively easy to unattach to wealth, fame, cars, houses, jobs, all the stuff. But to let go of notions of our own existence in time and space, far more difficult matter, far more subtle. And yet, unless we truly penetrate the fundamental nature of time, space, and existence, we remain caught on the endless round of birth and death, the wheel of samsara. Today we'll look at a fascicle of a Genjo koan, actualizing the fundamental point, by the Japanese master Eihei Dogen. He writes, "Firewood becomes ash. It does not turn into firewood again. But we should not hold to the view that ash is after and firewood is before. Know that firewood abides in its Dharma position as firewood and has its past and future. Though it has its past and future, it cuts off past and future. Ash is in its dharma position as ash and has its past and future. Just as this firewood, after it has become ash, does not turn into firewood again, so a person, after death, does not take rebirth. Therefore, we do not say that life becomes death. This is the established way of the Buddha Dharma. For this reason, it is called unborn. Death does not become life. This is the established Buddha turning of the Dharma wheel. For this reason, it is called undying. Life is its own time. Death is its own time. For example, it is like winter and spring. We don't think that winter becomes spring. We don't say that spring becomes summer. Dogen Keegan, whose dates are 1200 to 1253 of the Common Era, is a towering figure in Zen Buddhism. His father was a high official in the Japanese government, and his mother was the daughter of one. But both parents died when he was quite young, a harsh lesson in impermanence. So rather than seek a position at court, which he could easily have obtained, he began to study Buddhism. In his study of scripture, he found himself confronted by a question. Both exoteric and esoteric teachings explain that a person in essence has true Dharma nature and is originally a body of Buddha nature. If so, why do all Buddhas in the past, present, and future arouse the wish for and seek enlightenment? It's a good question. Yes, if we are already fundamentally Buddha, what are we all doing here? Why are we practicing? Dogen's eventual resolution of that question is found in the Fukan Zazengi, a universal recommendation for Zazen. The way is essentially perfect and exists everywhere. How could it be contingent upon practice and realization? The truth which carries us along is sovereign and does not require our efforts. Indeed, the whole body is far beyond the world's dust. Who could believe in a means to brush it clean? The way is completely present where you are. Is it then necessary to run around in search of it? And yet, if there is the slightest difference in the beginning between you and the way, the result will be a greater separation than between heaven and earth. If the slightest dualistic thinking arises, the mind is lost in confusion. You should pay attention to the fact that even the Buddha Shakyamuni had to practice Zazen for 6 years. It is also said that Bodhidharma had to do Zazen at Shaolin Temple for 9 years in order to transmit the Buddha mind. Since these ancient sages were so diligent, how can present-day trainees do without the practice of Zazen? How can we do without the practice of Zazen? We don't practice in order to become enlightened. We practice because we are enlightened. We practice our enlightenment. Zazen is the simplest, most direct expression of this enlightenment. Zazen and enlightenment are not separate. A fish does not swim in order to become a better fish. Its swimming is a direct expression of the fish and the water. They are not separate. Walking, eating, driving a car are all expressions of our enlightenment. They are not separate. At the age of 23, Dogen traveled to China with his teacher, Mio Zhen. He visited several monasteries in China, but he was not satisfied with the koan system as taught in Chinese Chan of the Song era. He felt that it put too much emphasis on enigmatic questions and quirky behavior as the only expressions of Zen. This points up a problem that many run into when they try to come forth from their realization in the Dokusan room. It's easy to fall into the trap of imitating Lin Ji or Wang Bo, yelling and carrying on. There are times when such a response might be appropriate. But the great challenge is not where do you see Zhao Zhou or Yun Min, but where do you see your own true self, and how do you come forth and manifest it? Robert Aitken Roshi did not like Zenny answers or demonstrations. Dogen eventually found his true teacher in Ru Jing of Tian Tong Mountain. Ru Jing refused to wear the robes of rank, which were common in Chinese Chan, and did not allow his students to hobnob with the aristocracy. He denied that there were any significant differences in the five houses of Zen. He even disagreed with the idea of a separate Chan or Zen school. He called his own teaching the Great Way of All the Buddhas. Ru Jing's route to realization, which Dogen continued to teach throughout his life, is the dropping away of body and mind through the practice of Zhe Guan Da Zuo. That's Shikan Taza in Japanese. Shikan, nothing but, only concerned with. Da, precisely. Za, sitting. Shikan Taza, just sitting. Sitting with complete, accurate, and continuous attention to the fact of sitting. Not an easy practice at all, but it is nevertheless the front gate to the Dharma. Dogen is given credit for bringing Soto or Zaodong Zen to Japan, which emphasizes Shikan Taza. But he used koans extensively in his teaching. Some of Dogen's own writings are treated as koans in our curriculum here. Firewood becomes ash. It does not turn into firewood again. This is the phenomenal world as we normally experience it. We see a fire in a fireplace or a campfire. We see ashes. We assume that the firewood becomes ash. In the same way, I look at a photograph of myself from 20 or 50 years ago. Wow, have I gotten old? We are born, we mature, we age, we die. There's no going back. Impermanence is a fundamental teaching of Buddhism. All things pass quickly away. It is this inexorability of birth, old age, sickness, and death that is the first noble truth, the truth of suffering. And it is what drives many people to practice. Or it drives them to seek forgetfulness in drugs, sex, money, relationships, anything to blot out the absolute certainty of the passage of time. But we should not hold to the view that ash is afterward and firewood is before. Now that's interesting. If we cannot look at firewood as before, nor ash as after, we then must conclude that firewood does not become ash any more than ash becomes firewood. No before, no after. What does that say about ourselves and our lives? Life is not past, death is not future. Youth does not lead to old age. Old age does not lead to death. Last year does not become this year. Yesterday does not become today. The last breath does not become this breath. The last moment does not become this moment. This moment does not become the next. The passage of time is the most difficult of our delusions to see clearly, much less to let go of. Everything, all phenomena, are seen in the context of time. To be requires time to be. To not be requires time to not be. Being and non-being are time itself. Can anything exist or not exist without time? Know that firewood abides in its Dharma position as firewood and has its past and future. Yes, every phenomenon contains past and future. And that past and future come forth in this moment. The meanest object, a day-old loaf of bread, a shit stick, has past and future. A past that contains many eternities, a future that contains many eternities. Though it has its past and future, it cuts off past and future. Is this a contradiction? How can one have past and future and also cut off past and future? Analogies are risky, lest one become attached to a particular image. But let me offer one. As was said, we usually visualize time as a horizontal line that comes from the past, goes through the present, and on into the future, like a kind of cosmic monorail. This timeline stretches infinitely back into the past and infinitely forward into the future. But if in our practice we realize that past and future are only thoughts about past and future, that the past is with us in this moment and future is with us in this moment, we can think of past and future as piling up vertically at this present moment on the timeline. And as past and future pile up, that horizontal timeline gets shorter and shorter until it shortens to zero. And all past and all future have piled up to occupy this one moment. So now we have past and future all in this moment. And at the same time, past and future have been cut off. This applies to all things. All that breathes and does not breathe. All past and all future have been cut off. Thus Wu Min can say, this one instant is 10,000 kalpas. 10,000 kalpas is this one instant. Yasutani Roshi expands on Dogen with a paraphrase. He writes, know that firewood is not firewood. There is not a moment for it to abide in its Dharma position as firewood. It has no past or future. Past and future are cut off. Ash is not ash. There is not a moment for it to abide in its Dharma position as ash. It has no past and future. Past and future are cut off. If that timeline is gone, then there's not a moment in which to exist or not exist. Therefore, one's Dharma position is a place of no abiding. Now let me paraphrase Yasutani. The living body becomes a corpse and does not become a body again. The living body is not a living body. There is not a moment for it to abide in its Dharma position as a living body. It has no past or future. Past and future are cut off. Thus it is unborn. A corpse is not a corpse. There is not a moment for it to abide in its Dharma position as a corpse. It has no past or future. Past and future are cut off. Thus it is undying. If we accept the past and thoughts about the past as happening only in this moment, the past loses its power. It is simply another thought. The same is true of the future and thoughts about the future. Simply another thought. Mind creates time and space and everything in it. This is not a bad thing. It's what the mind does. Just don't take it too seriously. But let us be clear. This creation of time and space is a function of Buddha mind, not the ego mind. The ego creates nothing. It is nothing. It is only attachment. Just as this firewood, after it has become ash, does not turn into firewood again, so a person, after death, does not take rebirth. Therefore, we do not say that life becomes death. This is the established way of the Buddha Dharma. For this reason, it is called unborn. Death does not become life. This is the established Buddha turning of the Dharma wheel. For this reason, it is called undying. Life is a concept, a thought, arising in this moment. Death is a concept, a thought, arising in this moment. How can one become the other? The very notion of becoming is a trap. We all have memories that we would like to get rid of. But the more we try to push them away, back into an illusory past, the more we create the timeline, and the more we are slaves to it. We all have fears and hopes about events that may happen. But the more we try to push them away into an illusory future, we again create that timeline and become slaves to it. It may not feel comfortable to cut off your past and your future. After all, what defines the ego self more completely than your personal history and your hopes, dreams, and ambitions? But while we think of past history and future aspiration as something to stand on, a support, it is in fact a burden, an anchor that pulls you under. Still, we must respect the delusive world of time, space, and karma. It is in this world of time that we do zazen, go to work, raise children. But without the deep realization of the timeless and spaceless, this karmic world is total delusion with all its dislikes, likes, hatred, and greed. With realization, it is delusive wisdom, as Robert Aiken calls it. Life is its own time. Death is its own time. For example, it is like winter and spring. We don't think that winter becomes spring. We don't say that spring becomes summer. Once we buy into the myth of becoming, we are caught in the timeline, which is just the wheel of samsara, the endless round of birth and death. The timeline is our chain, our unhappiness, our suffering. If you truly realize that the past has no objective reality, that all your previous life up to now is just a construction in this moment, to look at a 50-year-old photograph of your high school graduation as just a phenomenon that arises in this moment, that's liberation. If you truly realize that the future is utterly without substance, that all speculations, worries, apprehensions are just constructions that arise in this moment, to see the thoughts of past and future arising in this moment is liberation. All the koans, all the sayings and doings of the masters, Lin Ji's shouts and blows, Yun Men's cutting remarks, Zhao Zhou's quiet words, all have but one aim: to bring us to this intimacy, the present, timeless, spaceless moment. It is the only place where true nature, Buddha nature, enlightenment, or whatever you call it, is to be found. You do not come from anywhere or any when. You are as you are just this moment. You do not go anywhere or any when. You are as you are, just this moment. We are not eternal. We are timeless. We are not infinite. We are spaceless. Do not practice for the future. Do not practice for the past. Practice just this moment. Practice now the Dharma. Together with all beings, we realize the way.